السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم اكبر
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، السنة هي الضمان من الزلل والواقي من الفرقة والأمان من حيل الشيطان. فما هي السنة؟ السنة في اللغة هي السيرة والطريقة، سواء كانت حسنة أم سيئة، محمودة أم مذمومة. ومنه قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة كان له أجرها وأجر من عمل بها من بعده لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا، ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة فعليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها من بعده لا ينقص ذلك من أوزارهم شيئا. رواه مسلم. وقد تطلق السنة على ما كان عليه عمل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم واجتهدوا فيه وأجمعوا عليه، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. رواه الترمذي وغيره. كما تطلق السنة على ما يقابل البدعة، وذلك فيما يحدثه الناس في الدين من قول أو عمل مما لم يؤثر عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أو عن أحد من أصحابه، فيقال فلان على سنة إذا عمل على وفق ما عمل عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويقال فلان على بدعة إذا عمل على خلاف ذلك، ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك: من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. رواه مسلم. وقد تطلق السنة على غير الفرائض من نوافل العبادات التي جاءت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وندب إليها. فللعلماء رحمهم الله اصطلاحاتهم الخاصة في تعريف السنة بحسب الأغراض التي عنيت بها كل طائفة منهم. فعلماء الحديث مثلا بحثوا في أحوال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم باعتباره القدوة والأسوة في كل شيء، فنقلوا كل ما يتصل به من سيرة وخلق وشمائل وأخبار وأقوال وأفعال. ولذا فالسنة عندهم هي ما أثر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية أو سيرة، سواء كان ذلك قبل مبعثه صلى الله عليه وسلم أو بعد أن بعث. وأما علماء الأصول فقد بحثوا في أحوال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام باعتباره المشرع الذي يضع القواعد للمجتهدين من بعده، ويؤصل الأصول التي يستدل بها على الأحكام، فعنوا بما يتعلق بذلك وهي أقواله وأفعاله وتقريراته. فالسنة عندهم هي ما صدر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير مما يصلح أن يكون دليلا لحكم شرعي. وأما الفقهاء فإنهم يبحثون عن الحكم الشرعي في أفعال العباد وجوبا أو حرمة أو استحبابا أو كراهة أو إباحة. ولذلك في السنة عندهم هو ما يقابل الفرض والواجب. ومما سبق من تعريفات يتبين أن اصطلاح المحدثين هو أوسع الاصطلاحات لتعريف السنة، فهو يشمل أقواله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهي كل ما صدر عنه من لفظ، كقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وقوله: الدين النصيحة، وقوله: بني الإسلام على خمس، إلى غير ذلك مما جاء عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم من أقوال. ويشمل أفعاله التي نقلها إلينا أصحابه رضوان الله تعالى عليهم في جميع أحواله، كنقلهم صفة صلاته وصفة حجه وغير ذلك من أحواله التعبدية. ويشمل كذلك تقريراته، وهي ما أقر عليه أصحابه من أفعال أتت منهم من غير ما توجيه منه صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويكون ذلك إما بسكوته مع دلالة الرضا، أو بإظهار الاستحسان وتأييد الفعل، كإقراره لأكل الضب حين أكل منه بعض أصحابه على مائدته وامتنع هو عن ذلك. وتشمل السنة في اصطلاح المحدثين صفاته الخلقية، وهي هيئته التي خلقه الله عليها، وأوصافه الجسمية والبدنية، وصفاته الخلقية وهي ما جبله الله عليها من الأخلاق والشمائل. وتشمل كذلك سيرته صلى الله عليه وسلم وغزواته وأخباره قبل البعثة وبعدها. وقد دون المحدثون هذه السنة جميعها وتلك الأقسام وحفظوها في أمهات كتب السنة ومصادر السيرة النبوية الشريفة التي تشهد جهودهم وجهادهم في حفظ هذا الدين. فعلى المرء المسلم تطلب ذلك من مواطنه والسير عليه ولزومه والثبات عليه إذ هو النجاة بإذن الله. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإن أهمية السنة في حياة المسلم بالغة جدا، كيف لا وعقيدته يجب أن توافق عقيدة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كيف لا وعبادته يجب أن يتأسى فيها بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كيف لا وهو مطالب أن يكون على مثل ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في معاشرته أهله، في إحسانه إلى أهل جواره، في صلته برحمه، في حسن علاقته بمن وما حوله، في رحمته بالصغير واحترامه الكبير، في عطفه على الفقير والمسكين، في كفالته للأرملة واليتيم، في سماحته في بيعه وشرائه، في سعة صدره حين في عفوه عمن ظلمه، في قضائه وحسن أدائه دينه، في إحسانه إلى الأحياء والأموات، في إحسانه إلى الآدميين والجن والحيوانات، وبالجملة فأنت أيها المسلم مطالب باتباع هذا النبي الأكرم عليه الصلاة والسلام بكل دقة، وإن كان في الأمر صعوبة عليك فلا بد من التماس الطريق وحسن اختيار الرفيق وسؤال الله العون والنظر بتفاؤل إلى هذا الكون. وبهذا تتبين أهمية السنة في حياة المسلم، ما يكفر له حياة سعيدة وميتة حميدة ومردا غير مخز ولا فاضح، بل يرد حوضا ويكسب شفاعة من أمر بالصلاة والسلام عليه ووعد بصلاة الله عليه، ويحظى برفقة النبي المصطفى والرسول المجتبى سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين. وفي جمعتنا القادمة بإذن الله نتكلم على نماذج من مخالفات الناس لسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وما يجب علينا نحن أحبة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من أمر حيال ذلك، من نصح للآخرين ونأي عن جميع البدع في الدين. عباد الله، اتقوا الله والزموا سنة نبيكم تفلحوا، فاطلبوا نهجه ترشدوا وتصلحوا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
اللهم أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، حي على الصلاة.
إياك نعبد وإياك
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى وليسرك اليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنب الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله من حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام ورحمة الله. لا إله إلا الله.
وأن يوجد المفاتيح يوجد منطقة الأرض من المسجد صامتين إن شاء الله. السلام Thank you. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ما بعد، حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters for the translation of the khutbah of today, which is titled by the importance of the sunnah in the life of a Muslim. After khutbah of Haja, now, after khutbah al-Hajj, we began saying, all people, sunnah is the guarantee of staying away from being misguided and misled. And it is the protection from split amongst the ummah. And also it is a kind of protection from the traps of the shaitan, of the devil. So what is the sunnah? If this is the importance of the sunnah, then what is the sunnah? The sunnah in the Arabic language means the way of how people go, whether it is good way or bad way, it is called sunnah. Whether it is appreciated or unappreciated. Now, so it is the way that people take, whether it is good way or bad way. As in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة كان له أجرها وأجر من عمل بها من بعد لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا. However, invented sunnah in Islam, which is a good sunnah, a good thing to do so, and people follow him on that, then he will have a reward of it, and a similar reward to all those who will do this sunnah. And this would not reduce the reward of those who performed this sunnah. And whoever invent or innovate a sunnah which is considered to be bad sunnah, then he will receive the sin of it and the similar sin to everyone who will follow him on it. And this would not reduce the sin of those who followed him. So this is one meaning of the sunnah. This is one meaning of the sunnah. This is also found. Subhanallah. Well, in the khutbah of the sunnah, people lost their property and belongings. So, this is one meaning of the sunnah, or this is the general linguistic meaning of the sunnah. That some of the people of bid'ah used to justify their bid'ah, and they said that there is in Islam sunnah hasan and sunnah sayyah. We say no, this is a linguistic meaning, but in Islam there is no sunnah hasan and sunnah sayyah. The sunnah must be hasana only, And whatever is sayyid, that is bid'ah, not sunnah. As the other meaning of sunnah is what the Sahaba used to do. What the Sahaba in their lifetime used to do. Of the, yani of their ijtihad. This is also considered to be a sunnah. Of their sayings or actions. When they ever agree upon either all of them or big number of them. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعد. Hold on my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa who are guided, who come after me. So these khulafa are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. And this hadith is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his sunnah. Also the sunnah is a terminology used against what is called bid'ah, which is an innovation. So in this aspect it means the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was sent with. And this means that anything he said or did right after the prophethood, not before that. So this is one another meaning. So anybody brings anything of the sayings or the actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know, did not say, did not do, then this would be bid'ah. As he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, "Man amila amala laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd." Whoever does anything which is not from our matter, meaning the revelation that he came with, then it is going to be rejected. And anything rejected in the deen, that means a sin. It's not going to be anywhere a riwa. One other meaning for the sunnah, which means yani, not obligatory. So it is also used to mean the unobligatory worships. The unobligatory worships like the nawafil of salah before and after the fard. Like the 2 rak'ah before fajr, 4 rak'ah before dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after maghrib, 2 rak'ah after isha. Plus the salatul ishraq, salatul duha, the 2 rak'ah generally after or between every 2 adhan and iqama, etc., etc., salatul layl, whatsoever of the prayers. And also in fasting. Ramadan is obligatory and any other days other than Ramadan is sunnah. Hajj is obligatory only once in one's lifetime and whatever is more than that then it is sunnah. Same thing with the umrah. The zakah, the obligatory zakah is only once a year. And whatever been spent and the like, anything that Rasulullah did not make obligatory but he encouraged or did, then this would be a sunnah. Now, if he he did without telling the people to do it as a command, then it is a sunnah. So the ulama have also different definitions of the sunnah based on the fields of knowledge that they are a specialist on. As for example, ulama al-hadith, they always look after the whole entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he is the example for the ummah to follow in everything. And that's why they have conveyed everything related to the Prophet ﷺ as the biography, the manners and characters, the news, sayings, actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the sunnah to them is whatever been found authentic to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the sayings, actions, agreements, and characters, manners, attributes, description of his appearance, yani looking, and this would be before or after the prophethood. While ulama al-usul, they look after the whatever come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he is the only one who has the right to legislate. So they are looking for the legislation, and he is the one who makes the principles for the people of Ijtihad. He is the one who makes and puts the principles of Ijtihad for the ulama. Meaning, yani, the ulama cannot make ijtihad on a worship, yani, which is not known from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the ulama still have no right to do this. All the ulama, even if they all come together, they still cannot make a worship legislated if it is not known by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, all the ulama cannot come and say, let us make, yani, as long as in the West people working on Fridays and they are off on Saturdays and Sundays, then let's shift the Khutbatul Jum'ah to the Sundays. They cannot do that. Even if they do, we would not expect from them. Although we respect them, but we don't accept because this is not their right. But yes, they have the right to do the ijtihad, whether to do the Jum'ah in one place or many other places in the area based on, yani, the situation of the people. For example, in the West, people cannot go far from their place of work to attend the Khutbah of Jum'ah. So if the ulama of that area agreed that they do, yani, they assign places for praying Jum'ah in each area, this is their right, this is the ijtihad. And this would be different from one area to another. Like, for example, here in Saudi Arabia, the ulama has no right to do that because it's a Muslim land and all the Muslims are off on Friday. So they can't pray Jum'ah. We cannot say, for example, we cannot say that only 10 masajid in Jeddah will pray the Jum'ah. This is not correct because the whole country, the whole area is Muslims. So they will have to go to the nearest masajid. And the like, yani, this is only one example, but there are a lot, yani, of examples of how, yani, the ulama can, yani, or there are many examples of that, the principles of ijtihad are already put and made by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not left to the people, whether they are ulama or not ulama, to find or to make new qawa'id, new principles for ijtihad. La. The ijtihad must be based on the principles that Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned. He ﷺ is the only one who can put the qawa'id of ijtihad. Otherwise, every other day you will see new principles. So he ﷺ put the qawa'id of ijtihad. Now, sunnah to this type of ulama al-usul, is whatever came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the sayings, actions, and agreeing on what the Sahaba, or authenticating what the Sahaba said or did, which can be used as a veridic or a proof or an evidence for this mas'ala. While the fuqaha, the ulama of fiqh, were different from the ulama of hadith, the ulama of rasul, in their viewing of the sunnah. So they were looking for the ruling of the sharia, the ruling of the sharia upon the actions of the people, whether it is haram, halal, wajib, sunnah, yani wajib or mustahab, or makruh, or mubah. This is their field. So it is different from the field of the ulama of usul, because the ulama of usul were only looking into the sunnah to find the principles of ijtihad. The ulama of fiqh, no, they are looking into the sunnah to find the rulings of the actions of the people. Whether these actions or sayings, halal, haram, wajib, fard, etc., etc. And from what been said already, we can conclude that the best definition of the sunnah is the definition of the muhaddithin, because it is more wider than the definition of the usul, ulama of usul, or the ulama of fiqh, because it includes them both. It includes them both. So it includes the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. This hadith, the ulama of usul, they take from it principles for ijtihad. And the ulama of fiqh, they take from it dalil for whether these actions are accepted or not. But the ulama of hadith take it as general. It can be for this, it can be for that. Now, same thing as the hadith of Ad-Din al-Nasiha, Buni al-Islamu ala Qams, etc., etc., many other hadith which indicates or delivers the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the definition of muhaddithin includes the actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and the Sahaba conveyed to us, like how he prayed. He did not say, you pray like this or you pray like that, except for the hadith of Musi Salat, the one who did the wrong prayer. Other than that, the most of the hadith of Salah, the Sahaba said, we saw Rasulullah ﷺ praying like this, bowing like this, sitting like that. So it is the description of the Sahaba of the way how Rasulullah ﷺ performed this worship, whether Salah or Hajj, like the hadith of Jabir and others, which described the whole Hajj of Rasulullah ﷺ. And also this definition of Muhaddithin includes the authentication of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acceptance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to what he hears from the Sahaba or saw the Sahaba doing, even without that they hear this from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this cannot be bid'ah. No one come and say, oh, the Sahaba committed bid'ah. No. Because they were at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he can correct them if it is wrong, or affirm it if it is right. And that's what he did. And for example, when the man said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised from ruku', and the man said, ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا في من السماوات etc. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the prayer asked, who said this? He said, me, Ya Rasulullah. He said, I saw number of angels carrying eggs. So he authenticated that, although he did not teach it to the Sahaba. But in some other places, he objected, like in the Hadith of Al-Bara, when he taught him what to say when he goes to bed. Right? And he said to him, when you go to bed, you perform wudu, and then come and lie down on your right side, put your hand under your cheek or head, and then say, Allahumma wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, wa fawwadtu amri ilayk, wa alja'tu dhahri ilayk, la manja wa la manja, illa ilayk, منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزل وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. And then he said, Ya Bara, repeat what I said. Bara repeated it all exactly like what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said until he reached آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت. He said it. Then he said, وبرسولك, instead of بنبيك, وبرسولك الذي أرسلت. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم here did not agree on that. Although, it means the same thing. Rasul and Prophet, same. But, we are told to say exactly like what he said. So, the Prophet ﷺ brought on his chest and said, Ya Bara, wa bi nabiyyika alladhi arsal. So, it means, don't change. So, this is kind of authentication of what the Sahaba said or did. As when he heard from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri on the hadith of Ruqya, when he recited Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times, he never heard from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times, it'd be a Ruqya from the song of the scorpion. He never heard that. But when he did, it worked. He did it based on that the whole Quran is Ruqya. So he asked the people whom he did ruqya for to give him 30 heads of sheep. His companions, the companions of Abu Sa'id, did not accept that. So when they reached Medina, they complained to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that Abu Sa'id did this and took the sheep. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Abu Sa'id, how did you know that it is ruqya? Give me my share of these sheep. So this kind of authentication is one kind of authentication. And many others. And many incidents. So he sometimes keep quiet of what some Sahaba do. As this is Sunnah. Like what he did in Hajj. In his Hajj, he used to say from Medina until he reached Mecca, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. While some Sahaba were saying something different, he did not ask them, how did you know that this is Sunnah? Like what he did with that man who said, ربنا لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا. And he did not say, I saw number of angels, or this is good. And he did not say like what he said to Bara, do like what I say, or say like what I say. He didn't neither say as what he said to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, but he kept quiet. When the Sahaba added, لَبَّيْكَ ذَا الْفَوَاضِ لَبَّيْكَ ذَا الْمَعَارِ, he did not say nothing. He just kept quiet. So this means he agrees. And he did not show them any sign of disagreement, like angry, or he did not show that. So this means that this is one way of authenticating that saying or action. Now, and as well as when one day he was hosted by some Sahaba and they served him above the desert lizard. But he ﷺ here did not eat. Khalid ibn Walid was sitting and he wanted to eat. But he saw ﷺ did not eat. His hands did not extend. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, is this haram? He said, no, but I don't like it. So Khalid ate that dhab. So it means that it is authentic. It is permissible to eat. Now, the sunnah in the definition of the muhaddithin also includes the way he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to look, how he used to look, as they compiled books of that, like, for example, Imam al-Nasa'i compiled the book in the Shama'il of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and many other ulama compiled similar books, and all of them made at least a chapter in their books of how he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to look like, and the like. So, and also his manners and characters, they also conveyed it as a sunnah for us to go upon. And by that we end it out of the session. And by that we ended up this first part of the khutbah of today, and began the second khutbah, second part of khutbah, by saying or by praising Allah Ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we said, really the importance of the sunnah in the life of the Muslim is very, very high. Every Muslim needs the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order to know how to live safely, how to die safely, how to be resurrected safely, how to reach the lake of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and not to be prevented and stopped, how to gain the intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how to accompany him in the Jannah. All this can only come through the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you don't know the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you don't go up on it, then I'm afraid that you may not reach your target or your goal. How the sunnah is not important to the Muslim and his life, while we know that it is obligatory to have your aqidah, adhere the aqidah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If not, to the hell. As he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. All of my ummah will enter the Jannah except for those who refuse to enter the Jannah. The Sahaba asked, who will refuse to enter the Jannah ya Rasulullah? He said, those who obey me. Here obey does not mean only obey in how to sleep or no, but it means particularly here the aqidah. The aqidah, because there is nothing can make the person go in the fire permanently except the aqidah. Now, so your aqidah must adhere to the aqidah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you are upon any different aqidah, or if you are upon any aqidah, check. Is this what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was upon? Or just because the imam of the madhab or the imam of the tariqah, or because you are from this country or that country, all this would not benefit you in the day of resurrection, would not protect you on the day of resurrection. How we don't consider the sunnah is very important in the Muslim life, when we know that your worship must be exactly like how he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed the worship. As if you don't perform the worship the way he performed them, you may lose the reward of this worship, and maybe you be in a big sin. How we don't consider the sunnah so important in the Muslim life, when we know that he is not. So how we don't consider the sunnah so important to the Muslim life, when we know that he is commanded to be upon what Rasulullah ﷺ used to be upon. As he ﷺ said, and the hadith, and the authentic hadith, افترقت اليهود إلى 71 فرقة. The Yahud split into 72 sects. وافترقت النصارى إلى 72 فرقة. And the Nasara Christians divided into 72 sects. وافترقت وستفترق أمتي إلى 73 فرقة. And my Ummah will divide into 73 sects or groups. كل في النار إلا واحد. All will be in the fire except for one. The thing, ya ikhwan, the thing that makes me wonder is that the Sahaba who were at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the most or the safest time of the whole life of the Ummah, they were worried about it and they asked who they are, describe them. But today, after 1,430 years, we still hear the people saying that all this Muslim Ummah is in that one set, in that one group, subhanAllah. How come they? Not only that, but we hear also from some Muslims that all human can be brothers because they are human. So the lion is not our brother, and the camel is not our brother. That is the only way we differentiate between brothers. We are all brothers, but the monkeys, donkeys, dogs are not our brothers. Subhanallah. Is this the way? The Quran says that the Muslims are brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The Muslims are brothers. Rarely the believers are brothers. Only the Muslims. If all human are brothers, why Rasulullah ﷺ would fight against his family and relatives? And why? Why they fight in Badr against their relatives? Why? So this is wrong. This is wrong. So you as a Muslim are commanded to be upon the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the way of dealing with your family, أَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ 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 لِأَهْلِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best of you is the best to his family, and I'm the best amongst you all to my family. And his good relationship to his neighbors, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, you have to have a good neighborhood. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. And your kinship relations, as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do when he conquered, or when he conquered Taif, a woman came, not young, not old. She came towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was amongst the captives. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm your sister. Rasulullah has no any brothers, no sisters. He said, who you are? She said, I'm Shayma, the daughter of Halim al-Sa'diyya. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately put his upper garment for her to sit as a way of respect. And then he intercede before the Sahaba to release her. If they would, not forced, but he said, this is the sister of your prophet. If you would, release her. Look to that. She was arrested. And when he entered, when he conquered Mecca, and he had them all, the remaining kuffar, arrested, he gathered them and he said, what do you think I'm doing for you now? After all what you did. They said, you are a kind brother and a kind nephew. He saw Salam said, you go, you are free. This is the way how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deal with his, and when his, when his wife, Ramla, bint Abi Sufyan, hears that her father visited Medina before he embraced Islam. She knew that he is going to visit her, of course. So she sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall I accept it? He said, yes. And when Asma bint Abu Bakr asked him, ya Rasulullah, my mother is still in Kufr and she's coming to visit me. Will I accept her? He said, yes, and do good to her. Like that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the kinship. So you have to have good relation with your kinship. Not like what people do today. Oh, they are Abu Bid'ah, they are Fussar, they are this, they are Kuffar. Because, no, this is wrong. They are wrong, this is wrong. And also, you have to follow him in how he dealt with everyone and everything around you. Everyone and everything. With everyone, he was kind. He was kind. When two of the Sahaba arrested a camel man who told them about the caravan of Abu Sufyan, but they did not believe. They thought that he is just lying. So they beat him. So he lied at that time to get himself released. Rasulullah ﷺ laughed at them and he said, when the man tell you the truth, you beat him. And when he tell you the false, you release him. And also when he arrested Thumama in the masjid, he asked Sahaba, he said, be kind with him. Be kind with him. Look to that. When the man came willing to join the jihad, he asked him, is any of your parents is still alive? He said, yes, both of them are alive. He said, how did you leave them? He said, I left them crying. He said, go back and make them laugh as you made them cry. Subhanallah. Where is this today? Where is this today? And we still say we are people of Sunnah, people of Sunnah. Where is this today? Where is the Sunnah of Rasulullah? And also when you are someone who is willing to be up in the Sunnah of Rasulullah, you need to follow him in how he was so merciful with the youngsters and so respectful to the elders. To the elders. Today, you see a young man talking to an old man, calling him, Ya Muhammad. This is shame. This is bad. You don't call one who is older than you, Ya Muhammad. No, this is bad. Say, oh uncle. You know him or you don't know him. This is the way how we treat him. Not necessarily like that, but you have to show a way of respect. You have to respect elder people. And also you have to follow him in how he was so kind to the poor people and needy. To the limit that he said one day to the Sahaba, I don't wish that I spend one or two nights and I have like Uhud, all gold, and still remaining something with me. Meaning that I will give it to the poor. to the poor. And also you need to follow him in how he sponsored the widows and orphans. And he encouraged to that. So you have to. How many orphans you sponsor? I don't say adopt, but sponsor at least, spend, take care of them. How many widows that you, widow woman that you go and give help? Not looking for only yani, your own desire, but you just want to help. Look to his way and be like him when he used to buy and sell. He was very nice and kind and generous. He bought a camel, he sold a camel to Jabir in one journey. And when they reached Medina, Jabir brought the price. But the Prophet ﷺ loved and said, it is for you with the price. For you all. And also you need to have patience and wide chest when people make you angry. Zayd ibn Sa'ana came to Rasulullah ﷺ. He was a Jew. He lent some money to Rasulullah ﷺ. And before the time that they set up for repayment, Zayd came. And he grabbed Rasulullah ﷺ from his clothes. And he said, O children of Abdul Muttalib, pay us our money as you people always deny the loans. Umar ibn Khattab was very angry. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, let me break his neck, this Jew. Rasulullah ﷺ laughed at him and he said, no, Ya Umar. The person who has a right can say whatever he wants. He has a right. I owe him money. So he has a right. So, and then he said, pay him his money and more. Pay him his money and more. And give him more. This is the way he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to be. He never gets angry of that. And whenever he is oppressed, he just forgives. I told you that when he conquered Mecca, after all what they did to him and his companions, and they caused him to leave the best place that he loved, he just said, you can go, khalas. You're free. Subhanallah. And look to how he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to be nice and good to all the living and dead people. Not only the living, even the dead. He used to be nice and good. He taught us what to do for them. As he used to go in the midnight to the graveyard to give them salam and make dua for them. Who today do that? Where are we from the sunnah? Even in the daytime we don't go. Not night time. Even in the daytime we don't go. And in general, you Muslim is commanded to follow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exactly. Even if there is some difficulties in doing that today. But you still, if you wish, and the problem is, Ya Akhwan, wallahi, I'm really, sometimes, I'm about to laugh in the prayer. In Ramadan, Taraweeh, you hear the Imam and the people, yani, mashallah, cry, وَحْشُرْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You look at them, they shave. They extend their clothes, lower the ankles. They smoke. They maybe drink. They deal with riba. They have dishes. They do all this. And they still want to be along with Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come that be? You need to Fight against your desires. You need to correct yourself. So Allah Ta'ala guide you to the way of Rasulullah and cause you to die upon the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you'll be resurrected with him. But just to say this is nonsense, you know. And also, this, you need to chase the way. What is the meaning of chase the way? Chase the way by seeking knowledge. You cannot know how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this, did that, except if you seek the knowledge. You cannot just sit home on your couch, leaning down, under the air conditioning, watching TV channel, expecting that you know the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah. Even though some programs are presenting that on the TV, but before and after the damage, whatever good they bring. Before and after, music, girls, this and that, movies, so they damage it. Either before and after in the same channel, or before and after this channel. Because maybe this is Islamic channel. But before it, some non-Islamic channels. And after it, some non-Islamic channels. So by looking for the Islamic channel to know the knowledge, you will go through all this rubbish. So the best way is to come to the masjid. The masjid, where the ilm is conducted, given. So you sit there. You sit there close to the alim. Write down, read, ask, memorize. This will makes you go higher and higher. And also, choose the person that you accompany. You take as a friend. You take a friend who always encourages you to do the sunnah. Not a friend that when he sees you, when he sees you one day, your beard starts growing, he asks you, what is this? Why are you having it? Are you a tourist? Didn't you have a blade? You don't have enough money. Like that they say. So this is not a good person to go with. Just ignore. But the person when he sees you beard start growing, he says, MashaAllah. Yani, MashaAllah, you are growing your beard. This encourages you to be on the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the like. And also by asking Allah Ta'ala to help you be upon the sunnah of Rasulullah as well as by looking around you. How many people die? When are you going to die? Look to the whole entire world. And by that we know the importance of the sunnah in the Muslim life, which guarantee a good and happy life for him, and a perfect way of dying, and a very powerful resurrection on the day of resurrection, and guaranteeing the drink of the lake of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the decision of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and accompanying him in the Jannah. And inshallah ta'ala, in the coming Friday we're going to speak about some of the acquisitions of the Sunnah. People taking different ways other than the sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Hayyallah Sheikh, kayf halkum, inshallah khair wa rahmatullah. Tafadhal ya Abu Imran, is there any question related to the subject? طيب يهاف تفضل عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. I'm from the net. If you have any question from the net, you raise your hand please. نعم.
السلام على رسول الله شيخ محمد. Because I want to tell you this as well. You know, regarding the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, when obviously the Prophet ﷺ corrected the mistakes for the Bara. Some people basically relate to this hadith, and when they're making tawaf or like Umrah or Hajj, they try to carry with them like the booklets of dua and making dua because they relate this specifically. And they say, we have to say any dua, it's got to be specific to the du'as of the Prophet.
Allah. Jazakallah khair for this important question. But we say, what they intended and what they tried to do is correct, to be upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But from where did they knew that these are the dua that Rasulullah used to say in the tawaf? None of the Sahaba reported dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the tawaf, other than Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. In between the two corners, Hajar Aswad and before the Rukn Yaman. Other than that, none of the Sahaba reported that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say this dua or this dua. So generally, any dua can be said. Any dua. And when we say any dua, it is essentially understood that you don't need to carry book. Because any dua means anything you make, any dua you make from your heart to your Lord, by your tongue. It is not necessary to be in Arabic in the tawaf. Everybody can make dua in his own language, to what he needs of the dunya and the akhirah. You just make ask Allah. Someone ask Allah to help him in raising up his children. Someone ask Allah in helping him in finishing his building. Someone ask Allah to make him live in Mecca, for example. Someone ask Allah to permit him to marry more than one wife. Some woman asks Allah that her husband doesn't marry another one, and everyone has own da'wah. When the woman follow, I see some people, the man is holding the book, all without even book, but he's raising his voice, and his family behind him repeating. Allah, guess if the man says, Allahumma warzuqni arba zawjat, would she say ameen? She might titter in the tawaf. And some others, very strange, they make their wives or daughters, young daughters, mashallah, adults, make the dua first and then they repeat after them. What do you expect? You expect that your wife, if she's carrying a book and in the book says, Ya Allah, permit me to marry four wives, she's going to say that? Even if she says that, she's still living. How come a woman say, Ya Allah, permit me to marry four wives? Everyone has his own needs. So you ask Allah of what you need. That's it. You ask Allah of what you need. You need this, you need that, you need... You ask Allah. No. Any other question?
Regarding the Sunnah Taqririya, which is the Sunnah which is confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ, obviously some people, some of the sects, they may use this in a different way, and they say as long as there is some sort of diligence, ijtihad, obviously, we can make some ijtihad based on the fact that some sahaba, they made ijtihad, and they say, and now you find a lot of sects actually in the explanation or the translation of the Quran, they can say, well, everyone can have like some sort of input in it, and it is opened. So obviously, can we say to these people, basically, the Sunnah Taqririya was only in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's it?
Naam, exactly. That's what I said during the khutbah, that during the time of the Sahaba used to do or say something that is not considered to be bid'ah. Basically, because Rasulullah ﷺ is still alive amongst them. So he can correct what is wrong, or confirm what is right. But after Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, none of the Sahaba did ijtihad on bringing something new, but ijtihad on what is left for them. Ijtihad on what is left for them, but not and something new. So therefore we say, this is wrong. But this reminds me of a statement for some of Ahlul Bid'ah. They say about the Sahaba, نحن رجال وهم رجال. They think that يعني رجال is only by the sex, يعني man and woman. لا لا لا. رجال is by the actions, what you do. If you stick to the Sunnah, you are a strong رجل. Whether you are a man or a woman, you're a strong person. But if you are not up on the Sunnah, you are even not a man and a woman in between. You have to stick to the Sunnah. You have to stick to the Sunnah. And Ijtihad, as we said, even the ulama of Usul, they cannot do Ijtihad in finding Usul by يعني, themselves without going back to what Rasulullah ﷺ was upon. So they have to go back to what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon. Nah. So the conclusion of that is nobody can do the ijtihad except the ulama who have the material of ijtihad. And the material of ijtihad is to know what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said about this or that. Nah. That's all?
There's also another question. Some of Ahlul Bid'ah, they mention like when there is a Bid'ah, they will say there is also Bid'ah Hasana and Bid'ah Sayyi'ah. And their argument is actually on the narration of the author of Umar ibn Khattab when he gathered the Muslims to pray Salat al-Tarawih or Qiyamul Layl, and he said, Ni'mal Bid'ah to Hadih.
Na'am. As we said about the Sunnah, we say about the Bid'ah. There is a linguistic meaning, and there is a meaning which the Sharia came with. The meaning of Bid'ah is something new. And who say that there is Bid'ah Hasana, and they mean by that Bid'ah in the religion, they did not understand what Umar radiallahu anhu said. And if we say that Umar radiallahu anhu said نعمت البدعة هذه, he did not say there is a بدعة حسنة بدعة سيئة. He did not say that. But maybe we can say that this particular thing that Umar mentioned could be بدعة حسنة. Just that. If they want to say بدعة حسنة for that thing, let's يعني agree on that. But to take it as a principle and bring many things new to Islam, then what are we going to do with the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. He صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying كُلُّ, meaning all, every, بِدْعَة is ضَلَالَة. Every بِدْعَة is ضَلَالَة. And someone comes and says, no, but Umar said, and even Umar said. Let's now assume that Umar said there is بِدْعَة حَسَنَ بِدْعَة سَيَّة. Shall we take what Umar said or what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said? This is not correct, Yaqwan. We have to take what Rasulullah ﷺ said because he is the only one received the wahi. Umar never received the wahi. Never, not even for a single time. Nor Abu Bakr Siddiq. So, there is nothing called bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayyah. Only the linguistic, in the lugha. Only in the lugha. There is bid'ah, my. وهذا أيضا فيه يعني some of the ulama say that this saying from Umar is not authentic. Some of the ulama of hadith they say it is not authentic to Umar. Not sahih to Umar. But even if it is sahih to Umar, yet there is no any proof in it for this statement. Bid'ah hasan, bid'ah. Umar did not say bid'ah hasan, bid'ah. He said ni'mat al-bid'atu hadhi. So hadhi, he mentioned this particular issue or incident. Let's stop by that. Let's take Umar's statement to that limit and that's it. Wallahu a'lam. Khalas? Any other question? Right.